Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, the place for six, seven and eight figure Amazon sellers. I'm putting a ceiling on it. If you're a nine figure seller, I truly believe you're going to get value here because we're talking to Brad Moss, who is of Product Labs. Product Labs is one of the largest Amazon consulting and technology companies in the world, and not only the largest, one of the smartest. We're going to talk about some tactical wins in marketing in this episode. Just to remind you who Brad Moss is, he's a former business lead of Amazon Seller Central platform, so he utterly gets Amazon culture, and he was the creator of the Amazon Seller app. So yeah, tiny bit of underachievement there, Brad. I think you could retire now and you still have a great, an amazing resume. You know, your Wikipedia page is already right. Looking good. So let's talk about marketing. So we talked about strategy and we were sort of ending up almost not arguing, but discussing the difference between strategy and marketing and saying, well, actually, maybe strategy can be led by positioning, which is kind of very related to marketing. So let's talk about marketing. I know that specifically email marketing is something you have a sort of incredible platform about. I'd also like to talk about DSP marketing as well, the advanced DSP Amazon thing, which is a new area that I haven't heard many people talk about. So let's kick off with email marketing. Tell us about your super duper all singing platform. It sounds quite cool. What does it do? What do you do that's different?
Yeah. So email marketing has been around for a long, long, long time, right? Since the early days. And it's good. It can be effective. It's kind of hit its point where, you know, it's not nearly as sexy as the normal PPC and advertising marketing. But we've actually developed a pretty interesting system with a group. And what it does is it's kind of like an evergreen system that keeps an audience populated for you, and it sends them in emails advertising maybe the subject or the topic. If we're selling pencils, hey, this is the best hand position when you're writing and kind of things like that. There's a series of kind of articles that you send these people, and what the system is it finds people who are interested in this stuff, and then it automatically puts them into a population. If the people unsubscribe, then we fill it full of other people. So it's kind of like an infinite drip kind of campaign where it just keeps them coming and it keeps them full. And we've seen some really high click-through rates and conversion and stuff that's on par with selling Amazon PPC or any of the other in terms of costs, even less in some ways. It's just an additional channel, right? If you're selling Amazon or even off Amazon and you need some email marketing, if you want to really go after it, then we have this system that works really well for a lot of our clients. It's really fun. And that's why, you know, we want to let some people know that it exists because it's brand new technology, what we're doing here.
Great. So, I mean, we've done that terrible thing in content marketing, which is came straight in and said, hello, here's Brad. Well, we're going to tell you all about the product that he has, which you have to pay for, I guess. So let's which, by the way, I think is fine because people need to know this stuff exists. I mean, because you people spend so much money in the Amazon world on different tools and platforms and stuff. And an email is sort of whimpering in the corner, getting a short shrift a lot of the time. So, but let's back out to what do you think the basic important things are in email marketing. Well, again, let's start with classic mistakes because that often clarifies things. What are the classic mistakes you see your clients come to you with that you have to kind of change around and correct for them?
Well, there's a couple of different things. So one, most of the mistakes is people don't even do it or they don't even think about it because it's hard, right? Many times it's the traditional concept is, oh, I got to create an email list and then I got to create my email marketing funnels. And I got to capture people. If people drop out of my funnel, then I don't have them anymore. I got to go do something else to get more people to come back in my list. So they're always working on trying to keep your list populated. And that's why this is such a great solution. for our clients is that they come in and they don't have to keep it populated. They just have the content, and we can try out all sorts of different content. I mean, you know, content is king. So we're A/B testing stuff all day long and saying, all right, well, we're going to do a campaign. This is the 7-sequence email campaign, or this is what we're dripping to them over the next 4 weeks. Hey, we got this click conversion rate. Let's adjust it here. And it doesn't even matter. You're not worrying about your people falling out and that you're losing audience, because we just put more people back in. And so you can actually treat it as a longer term, you know, over the next 6 months, over the next 12 months, this is how we want to cultivate this list and this email marketing content to really maximize the returns for me. And, you know, we've gotten like 20% open rates on some of the stuff that we've sent, like way high numbers for email, kind of crazy high numbers on some of the stuff that we've done.
Sounds great. So if we were going to try and recreate the system that you've got, I mean, of course, if anyone's interested, they can come over and just remind myself, it's going to be try.productlabs.net. Is that the right sort of URL if people want to check out what that's all about? Or
so that's just connecting to us. Whether you're going to talk to us about our brand, kind of our brand, Amazon brand management service, which is our full service, or our marketing side, where it's email marketing or Amazon marketing, or the DSP, which we'll talk about in the future, or our strategy side, our strategy and analytics we provide to sometimes private equity firms or groups that are interested in acquiring Amazon businesses, or even Amazon businesses that are operating and want to understand their business a lot better.
Okay.
From an outside group. So
try.productlabs.net if you want to check it out, folks, and if that is something that you might explore. But coming back to this, the platform. So if we wanted to create something ourselves like that, what is this mechanism, the magic mechanism by which you just refresh the list? That sounds like kind of...
You probably couldn't create something like that yourself. That's why it's proprietary.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that you hand the system over to your rivals, but if we're going to do it some manually, the hard work way, rather than doing a SaaS... You know,
software. So you could continually go and look for people who are interested in your product. Let's just say that. Or interested in your category. You would have to go out and look for and find people who are interested, and you got to find enough, right? I mean, in general, we have groups. Essentially, the way we set it up is we set it up so there's sessions that we guarantee. We guarantee you're going to get 5,000 clicks through this in a month, or 2,500 clicks, or whatever it might be. But we back into the numbers, well, we might need 50,000 people we're sending it to, or maybe 100,000 people we're sending it to. That's the difficulty, is finding that many people who are interested in what you're doing. And that's kind of the magic of the system that we've created here. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah, reverse engineering that. I mean, I've done that with my own email marketing. I mean, okay, if I want to get, for example, a few thousand people more on the list, if I want to say add 5,000 people to my list over the next year, that doesn't sound like a huge number. But then you think about, okay, so I can get maybe 5% of the blog traffic to convert to email list. And that's a rather sort of generalized number. We haven't even talked about segmentation or anything else. But let's assume 5%. Okay, that's a bit of it. You're suddenly looking at 100,000 people just to get on that email list. And that means I've got to drive that from, say, advertising and, you know, a certain percentage will click through there. You're ending up with 1 million impressions quite swiftly, or 10 million impressions of ads, or a lot of podcast downloads, like crazy numbers, just to end up with a few thousand people on a list, right? I mean, the numbers get quite frightening quite quickly, like when you reverse engineer from the conversion rates. So, I guess you've got your proprietary answer to that. What are your other sort of approaches to building an email list, because that's obviously one of the most important things before you can nurture the email list?
Yeah. The system is set so you really don't need to build your own email list. But once they come through and they jump into your website and jump into the funnel, then you can start capturing all sorts of information about those people and building that list there and seeing which ones are converting, which ones come back, and using, you know, kind of the normal click funnel, the methods to hone those people and get them for later. Once they actually come through, we actually kick them off too. If they go and buy your product, if it's like a one-time thing, it's like, great, we won't send them any more emails. And we're going to find more people to then come. So that's why it's this kind of infinite idea of an infinite list that you'll always have. And you just get to say, all right, I want this many clicks every month. So just come do it.
It sounds pretty extraordinary. I mean, I have to say, so Yeah, that's so. Congratulations on creating an amazing system. And I guess people just have to check that one out. So there's no sort of magic that we can do at home by the sound of it. So let's move on to the...
We'll have something up on our website that goes into more detail. So again, productlabs.ai or productlabs.net, both those go to us. And there'll be some information about the email marketing on there if you want to find out more information.
Great. Yeah, that sounds very, very worth checking out. I mean, it depends on the scale people are doing things at. But sometimes outsourcing to somebody who's just built the thing that is going to take you 3 years of pain to do a second-rate version of is just worth doing. So let's move on to Advanced DSP. So that's, I believe it's a demand-side platform. Is that right? What does that even mean? What is that?
It's Amazon's demand-side platform. So it's a new to sellers kind of platform. So Amazon has several different marketing systems going on internally. And what we've seen on the third party side is that they've really emphasized on the pay-per-click marketing. So you're paying for someone to come in, see your ad. And then when they click on your ad, then you pay for it. The demand side platform is you can't do it on your own. So you would need to come to us, or there are other agencies that can do the DSP. What that is that there's other spots on Amazon that your ads can be. And you may notice it, you may not notice it, but if you go to Amazon, there's ads all over the place, everywhere. Even on the homepage, there's video ads that you can do for like Fire TV sticks. We can actually get ads going on those TV stations on people's Fire TVs. And then there's video ads inside of Amazon that we can do. It's basically all the other awesome ad stuff that you don't have access to as a 3P seller. That's what the Amazon DSP is, more or less. There's all sorts of names for sub programs, but we'll just use DSP as a catch-all. But then also what the system does is Amazon for a long time, they've been going to other websites and advertising products for people to come into Amazon. So they may go to CNN. You may see your product on CNN or on MarketWatch or wherever you might be, maybe on ESPN, whatever. There's all these ad systems, and Amazon through the DSP, you set up your products and you set up various different things and you say go, and then they start putting it through their system and they start showing on external websites also in addition to Amazon. And this platform set up in a different way in that it's not cost per click, but it's cost per million or CPM, which is really cost per thousand, not million, but thousand impressions. And so it's on a cost per impression basis instead of a click basis. But we've seen sometimes that you get even better. Well, we've seen both where you get better results with the DSP, other times where they're not as good as the PPC. It's kind of a combination, right, of how you want to tackle it. Your ad spend. And many times what we do is we do both, right? We help clients set up on the PPC side and do all the headline ads, display page ads. And then on the DSP, we set them up there for maybe a particular products or a couple of different products. We start running ads through that system.
So DSP sounds like obviously gives extraordinary exposure for your products and your brand. And the fact that it's paid CPM, so per views, not clicks, gives me a hint that it's not so much of a direct response marketing mechanism. So what is the purpose? How would you use it in the advertising picture? What's the purpose of it?
Yeah. So what's interesting is you would generally think, and this is where our general approach has been, is, hey, it's for brand building. You know, people usually see a brand, well, traditionally, like 7 times before they actually make a purchase or make a recognition of it. So it's the idea of brand building in general is what you would use a DSP for. That all that said, though, is we've actually seen some really good results with it. And maybe it's because it's still super early in the game with the DSP, but we've seen some results that match any of the PPC. So it's not just about presence. It's, hey, I put this product on there and I'm actually getting just as good of a return as I'm doing on my Amazon sponsored ads, or even a better return. We've seen better returns at certain times too.
Interesting.
So it's kind of a mix and you never quite know. It's just a different system, right? And you're using it a little bit differently. And we're actually developing additional metrics to track more components of it and to kind of analyze and provide some analysis for our clients of what's useful through the DSP system.
Great. Okay. Interesting. Well, I guess it comes down to that thing we're talking about, positioning. I mean, if you're early to a market, and in a sense, ad space is a market like any other, isn't it? In the end, there's a kind of shelf space in terms of space that CNN is willing to devote to adverts and that Amazon's willing to devote to adverts on its platform. And if you own that real estate.
The thing is, this has been happening on Amazon for years, right? So it's not like the platform's new. It's just the exposure and our ability to get third-party sellers in there. They've been doing it for vendor for a long time, but now third-party sellers can all get in there with their products through particular vehicles.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I guess, yes, the platforms exist. So the demand side or the exposure to the audience side has been there, but the supply side, as in the competition, hasn't really come on stream yet. So I guess it's a sweet spot right now, right? From what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say that.
Sounds great. Okay. I understand that you don't just get the exposure, but you actually get some crazy idea on Amazon demographics data, which we're so used to in Facebook ads, like to the nth degree. And in the world of Amazon, like it's all keywords divorced from people. So tell me a bit more about that, because that really interests me a lot, because that sounds revolutionary for Amazon.
What the DSP gives you is ability to target various different groups, and then you can see results from that targeting. Amazon still considers all their customers their customers, so they don't provide a lot of customer data to you as a seller. We actually do some interesting things internally for Product Labs clients for their brand, where we actually do go into the customer information a little bit more deeply, in particular lifetime value, repeat purchase rates, interesting things like that that Amazon doesn't give you, and then some additional data. But it's a pretty sensitive subject for the entire e-commerce world. Facebook, Google, everyone is pretty sensitive. Amazon's being pretty sensitive about it. So I guess the most to expect is that on the DSP, you can actually use some of that information to target who you want to target over there, as opposed to just generally targeting keywords on Amazon like you generally do with the PPC site.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, I guess, look, in the end, the privacy issue and the marketing issue don't necessarily have to be in conflict. I mean, that's another question for the United States Supreme Court and et cetera, right? But I guess in the end, what we need is a type of consumer, not a particular consumer. I mean, I've heard of people retargeting people back in the day and just retargeting one single person, some kind of weird cyber persecution. That's a very expensive and weird thing to do, and also isn't going to make you money. So I don't see there's ultimately that much of a conflict of interest. But anyway, the fact that we can even do it is quite revolutionary to me. So it sounds great. Okay, I can see why we'd do it. You can see what it is. How do we get access to it? Is it purely via agencies only? Is it restricted to people on a beta program? How does that work?
Yep, it's restricted to agencies.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The Amazon, and there's actually a whole list of agencies trying to get in, and Amazon's stopped agencies from getting in. It's been a backlog list. So
particular agencies that know their business. All right. Can it be done in Europe as well? Is it US only at the moment?
Yeah. No. It's all over the globe.
And is this something that you can kind of go in with a small amount of money just to test it out? Or does Amazon sort of require a certain minimum ad spend or something like that?
So typically, sellers have been able to get into something like this with like a $30,000 minimum spend or something like that. Because we're such a high volume, we're in a high volume space and situation, we actually pull a lot of people in at a lower price. So generally, it's like a $1,500 is kind of like the minimum ad spend.
Was that per month or per year? Or?
Yeah, per month. Okay. That we throw them in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can get them in a lower level. Okay, that's helpful. So they can give it more of a sort of tryout before committing. I mean, $30,000 is a lot of money to spend on something when it's not proven for your business yet, I guess.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, I think for most people. Okay, so you need to go via you. Okay, I think that's pretty clear how that works, really. So any other sort of, you're cooking up some really advanced stuff there. Any other sort of advanced marketing things that you're doing or that you think sellers should be aware of?
It's a really interesting time with Amazon. A lot of these general tactics that people have relied upon sellers are going away. We've seen the ranking strategies work less and less. We've seen reviews, Amazon took that away from sellers. I would just generally say one of the things that we focus on the most is our analytics and understanding what are your numbers, what are your metrics, and traditional business, right? Of understanding your marketing spend. What's the return on all of your advertising, and then using those numbers and knowing that there may not be a lot of hacks anymore with Amazon, that you got to use some real business planning and strategy and plan for the long term instead of for a lot of like short term gains. And we've been seeing this coming for about 4 or 5 years, And that's why we've just built our whole company around this kind of long-term perspective of running a business and managing a business. So I'm sure they'll still continue to be lots of fun little hacks and tactics that, you know, we know them all, and in the right scenario, we'll use them if they're, you know, white hat. You know, many times you just got to sit back and plan your business accordingly and know your metrics when they come in. So know what your ad spend is, what your budget is, and how to get the right return on it.
Yeah, it strikes me that Amazon's getting a bit more grown up in, well, it's obviously you have to be, as it were, more grown up. You mentioned in the last episode, which is very worth checking out, guys, talking about strategy, where Brad and I really went to, you know, what is strategy anyway, and how does it apply in a pragmatic sense to Amazon sellers and e-commerce sellers. At 10kcollective.com is where you'll find the show notes for that and links to listen to it as well. But also, it sounds like really the stuff that people used to sweat about on Shopify, because they had to spend real money to build an audience before they then got the money back, is now beginning to apply to Amazon sellers. The difference isn't so, it's not such a hack-based kind of mindset now, right? For the people who are doing well these days, it seems to me that it's just aligning itself with other platforms. I mean, in a sense, as you say, it's been coming 4 or 5 years. In a way, it's quite surprising that Amazon hasn't being more aggressive at eliminating loopholes earlier. I guess it's just they've got a monster to manage, to be fair to them, right? I guess that begs the final question that I'd love to put to you, which is like the how long, no, it's not even how long is a piece of string. It's like I'm asking you to have a crystal ball now, which I fully acknowledge nobody in the world has, even including Jeff Bezos. So no lawsuits will be coming your way. But where do you see Amazon marketing, including the on Amazon sort of platforms, going in the next couple of years, either what you think is going to work or what you think Amazon's going to do to move the goalposts? Because you've obviously got a good finger on the pulse there.
Yeah. I think Amazon doesn't necessarily care about the health of your business. They care about consumers getting their products, and they care about making money as a company, which maybe that's a harsh statement. In a way it's true. They'd more just say, hey, here are platforms, here are terms. If it works for you, do it. Obviously, they love their sellers and they want more sellers to be doing better. When I say that, it's because they want to, you look at from a macro trend, you see them pushing more and more and more to get sellers to be using their advertising platforms. And you know why? Because that makes a lot of money for Amazon, and it's made more money for Amazon. And that's where you can see a lot of different indicators, not even looking at their financials. There's all sorts of indicators inside of Amazon that it's making a lot of money for them. It's because they keep developing additional features for it. Because features only, I mean, I knew firsthand, you're only going to get a feature made if you're getting money. And if it's been made and then you're getting follow-on dollars, it means you're actually making a lot of good money with it. And this is the biggest side of growth for Amazon. I mean, when I was hired, the question was that was out there was, hey, if Amazon's wants to be the most consumer-focused company in the world, should Amazon allow advertising on its website? That was a hypothetical we would talk about in the interview process. And there's pros and sides of both, pros and cons of both sides. But you see the one side, like it just came from the idea, maybe we shouldn't be doing any ads because how are ads good for consumers, right? And that was argued vehemently inside of Amazon. I think they're at a different space, a different age now. They don't necessarily consider that as much as a big thing. They're just seeing the tons of money come in through the advertising side. Facebook and Google makes all their money on ads aside from Android. But, you know, everyone has made so much money on ads. Amazon's seeing that and picking it up. It's now a huge part of what they're doing. So I think understanding your advertising and getting sophisticated with it is good. Amazon's providing more tools. I think they'll continue to provide more tools. Some of the stuff they're releasing with the brand and brand analytics and that kind of stuff is pretty cool. It's pretty fascinating. I think that all comes, you know, in some way through kind of the ad side of Amazon. At the end of the day, it will be a big ad game as it has become now. I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. It's going to be a lot about advertising and positioning and the marketing dollars. And so, which unfortunately makes it really hard for some people, for some businesses to play who've traditionally been playing in this space. Yeah, I think that's the way it's going. So in years to come, I would think more data, more ad availability. But with that, to me, that just means businesses have to know more and more about what they're doing and why they're spending what they're spending.
Yeah. And I guess what it points us back to is as you said, good old-fashioned business strategy thinking that in the end, to put it in the more primitive way, which works my kind of brain now, because you have an extraordinary brain for all the things you've done, is like money in, money out. We have to make sure that whatever the system in the middle is, it produces a return on investment. And we need to know the good old-fashioned financial investment metrics, like how quickly will I get my money back? Will it come back with friends? If so, you know, what's the profit margin? What's the return on investment? What's the sort of, what's the cash flow projection going to look like? So, you know, if you're going to have to spend more on advertising, you may have to make break even on your third shipment of a product rather than a second in a bad scenario, for example, that kind of thing. So I guess, you know, in a way, they've removed the sort of obsessive internet marketing, it's a hacky kind of culture that has been around Amazon a lot, is gradually being eliminated. I can't say, I'm sorry that it's getting more expensive to sell on Amazon for myself and for my friends who sell there, but I can't say I'm sorry that the mentality is changing, because in the end, it's consolidating into real business. And I find that kind of exciting, actually, because in the end, it starts to be something you can see with the business head on. It's just another business opportunity rather than it's a magic Amazon thing. And I think that's kind of a healthy relationship to, you know, it's not led by that sort of internet marketing craze now. It's a really amazing opportunity. As you said, it's bigger than ever, but getting harder. But, you know, the prizes are there. The prize is bigger than ever. And you just have to be super smart and strategic. And obviously having, if you are a serious brand, I mean, obviously you've heard all about Brad. There's a hell of a lot that Brad has to offer there. Again, just to flag up the framework, the sort of strategic framework that Brad's developed to be able to work across it, well, Brad and his team, of course, at Product Labs, to work with multiple different businesses and multiple different niches, is at amazingfba.com/framework. Really urge you to check that out. I'll be certainly downloading that and trying to sort of absorb that as much as I can. Brad, any parting thoughts before we head into the sunset?
I think I've said quite a bit, but I do think that Amazon and e-commerce continue to be an exciting world. I know sometimes we get really deep into it. Consider e-commerce is still only about 17% of all retail. It's never going to take it over. So retail is still alive, I think, alive and well. But e-commerce and the idea of shipping things quickly to people and getting them is a fun, really exciting world to be in. From a big level and a small level, there's some really exciting stuff. It's just a lot of innovation. And it's cool that I can go online and find whatever, like a weird little niche product that years ago I couldn't find any of that stuff. It's, as a consumer, it's exciting. As a business, it's exciting with opportunity, because it helps you be creative and find some cool stuff and make a good business and a good living out of it.
Amen to that. Yeah, I think anything that forces us to be creative and innovative is, while it may be painful in the short term if it's of change, it's got to be longer term a great challenge for us all anyway. So I really like that message. I agree wholeheartedly. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.